Yes.
So insurance was not a barrier.
No. Well, there were still some folks who didn't have insurance, but it was sort of the stigma of really getting services. They were figured like, oh, if I get services, for example, you know, I might be turned in because of my immigration status. So there were a lot of barriers that actually prevented folks from getting services.
How did you get the providers to be incentivized to go through this training?
One of the lessons that we learned from the focus groups during the mental health services planning process is that providers actually didn't have any clue, very little clue on how to work with Filipino Americans. You know, and I think that was the sort of the question. And so we by providing this with CEUs, food, and, you know, making this sort of a part of their improving their work, I think it drew them in. But most people really said, you know, I've never had a training with Filipino working with Filipino Americans. So I think that was sort of a sign.
How did you recruit those providers?
It was from the county. So we put out a mass email. We started speaking to the many CBOs that were part of the community. And they started saying, like, can I bring in 10 people, 20 people, 30 people? And there was a certain point we said, we can't take any more. So that's why it kept on sort of going in bigger. And the demand really is big.
I guess my question is about engaging kids, which was sounded like really what got the parents in. I see that I'm on the East Coast working with Filipinos, and I notice like the parents won't really own up to like there's a problem. It tends to be the kids that, like, who become the symptom of a problem, and so it's like if the kid's acting out or doing well in school, then, you know, that seems a really, really big in. So what we're trying to do, hopefully, is, and I don't know if you guys are doing this too, is like working with, you know, priests to maybe incorporate it in like sermons or something like that, which it sounds like you have some religious contact. I don't know if you're doing more in that realm. A lot of our work actually has been like in the church basements or,
you know, it was surprising for us that the religious community actually was really interested in partnering with us. But, you know, what we also did was we actually listened to the sermons of the priests and the folks who were part of the religious community and heard and tried to listen to what they were saying. And they were saying a lot of negative things about mental health. So what we needed to do was educate the priests and the faith community first and using that piece, yes. But absolutely, yeah. Thanks.
I see that you have a lot of good quality of data in your program. How do you measure the effectiveness of your outreach program? Do you administer, you know, some evaluations as you go out there to the community and, you know, educate? Like,
You know, actually, that's one of the challenges. And we did this, for example, our pre-test and post-test for our provider training. We got in our outreach event, we got the address and email information of the folks who attended our event and our booth, but they never responded. So I think part of the challenge for us is how do you measure that? We have lots of anecdotal data. And so quantitatively, instead of sort of numbers, we have not been able to figure that out. So I think what we want to do is the next phase is how do we evaluate this so we can replicate it? And is it just the numbers? No, I think it's, when we also studied some of the evaluation from the, parent nights and the community events, and we asked them, what was the one thing that you learned? And then say, you know, it's important to communicate to your child. It's important to say, I love you. So, but really it's more anecdotal data, and that's really a challenge for us right now.
Great, thank you very much. Our next presenter is Dr. Julia Watkins. Dr. Watkins is an associate professor of nutrition and dietetics at the University of North Florida.
Hello, everybody. Thank you. This is pretty exciting. I want to congratulate my previous speakers. I really enjoyed your presentations, and they are pretty validating of what I'm going to talk about. The study I'm going to talk about is barriers to substance abuse treatment across Native Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, and Asian Americans. And I'd just like to say that this is actually the thesis work of Lauren Levine and a colleague of mine, Adam Carl, and I'm finding this slide interesting because it doesn't look the same as it did, so we'll see what happens. I have nothing to disclose, no financial relationships. So the purpose of our study was just to examine the differences in substance abuse treatment utilization in Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders and Asian Americans. A little bit of background of why we would want to do this goes back to the Census Bureau and how they collected their data prior to 2000. Prior to 2000, the categorical choices for racial categories was not as distinguishable as it was after 2000. Prior to 2000, the Asian category and Pacific Islanders were actually collapsed into one category. And in 2000, they began separating Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders as a different category. And even further, the Asian category was then given the opportunity an individual that was Asian could then distinguish what type of Asian they were. So the significance of this is actually very great in looking at differences in these different groups, because prior to 2000, the methodology was very limiting. As you can see, if you look at the graph, these are in millions of people. Prior to 2000, we had just one category, Asian and Pacific Islander, and it constituted about 11 million people, in which a wide diversity of ethnic groups would be comprised within, you know, so any research done on this category would, you know, not do you a whole lot of good of understanding the different groups it comprised. After 2000 and in 2008, if you look at the categories, you see that what was being missed approximately prior to 2000 was about a million people, which represent the Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander group. So this is really exciting related to this type of research, especially substance abuse research, because the evidence that's out there today, when you look at single smaller sample studies, are showing that it is very significant in these ethnic groups related to substance abuse, because studies are showing that among Asian Americans that substance abuse is actually increasing, and dependence rates in one study were actually shown to be similar to that found in white samples. And even more alarming is in the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander group, the use of substances was actually higher or similar or higher than whites or Asian samples by many different studies. So I guess it's particularly significant that now we can pull out Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders and see that, wow, you know, I mean, there's a significant problem going on, and now epidemiological studies related to the Census Bureau data, we can actually look at that. So what about treatment utilization itself in these groups? There's not a lot of research that's been conducted, and as evidenced by what's been said prior to me coming up here, it's a very relevant topic. The evidence suggests, however, in small sample studies that substance abuse treatment utilization is needed in Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders, and Asian Americans. One study found that Asian American past year drug and alcohol treatment utilization was only half of what is found in white populations. So one would wonder if I reported that the use is going up and utilization is half of what we find in the white population, you know, it would be interesting and important to understand why. And in Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander adolescents, a study has found that there is a great need for additional research in this area because of the increased problems and dependence of substance abuse. Something that would be very interesting and important to know, of course, would be the barriers to treatment. Why are Asian Americans, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders not getting the treatment that they need? It's so interesting, as you were stating, the cultural beliefs, the perceptions, there's a lot of stigma, suspiciousness within the Asian American culture. People are either unaware or have inaccessible inaccessibility to services, or as with most groups, there's a lack of financial resources. But maybe, and most importantly, perhaps, even when people have access, they have the financial resources. Maybe they don't have the cultural stigma attached, or they don't internalize that. Perhaps, you know, just the lack of culturally sensitive programs and personnel related to their own ethnic group within treatment facilities could be one of the most important factors related to not receiving treatment. Within the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander group, it's a little more financially related. The studies have found that there's unstable funding to develop and implement programs, and limited and inaccessible services. So obviously there's a lot of work to be done, and therefore the hypothesis of our study was that it was expected that due to the cultural differences between these groups that barriers to substance abuse treatment would differ across the groups. But given the lack of previous research in this area, we really didn't know what those projected differences would be, and so it was unclear. So the methods of our study, it was secondary data analysis on the National Epidemiological Survey on Alcohol and Related Conditions that is administered by the U.S. Bureau of the Census, and that includes a random sample of U.S. non-institutionalized civilian adults that are 18 years or older. Our study was based on the first wave of data that was collected between 01 and 02. The total sample was over 43,000 individuals. The operational framework based on the questionnaire and the sample characteristics of our study, as you can see, we had a total sample of over 1,600 individuals. The characteristics that were that defined our sample, of course, would be the ethnicity of the individual. They would have to say, yes, I'm Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander alone or in combination, which is how the Census Bureau words it, or I'm Asian American. You can see that a far larger percentage of the sample, over 81%, was Asian American. A further distinguishing factor of the sample was the presence of substance abuse and related to alcohol or drugs, and 75% of the sample said, yes, I have been a drinker, or about 24% of the sample had used drugs. So a great deal more alcohol use than drug use in the sample. The barriers to substance abuse, the question that's asked is there ever a time related to alcohol, ever a time you thought you should seek help for your drinking, but you did not? And about 64% of the sample said yes. And the same question related to drugs. So was there ever a time you thought you needed treatment, but you didn't get it? 36% of the sample said yes. So the data analysis just included simple chi-square cross-tabulations to determine the likelihood of being in one of the ethnic groups and the following measures: their abuse of drugs or alcohol, their help seeking for the abuse, and the barriers to treatment. Our statistical significance was set at a p-value of less than or equal to 0.05. So the results, the first thing I want to talk about is the alcohol use by ethnic group. The results show that the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders were significantly more likely to meet criteria for either abuse or dependency at the 0.001 level. Then we look at the alcohol treatment seeking by ethnic group. Found, again, the same as the use, the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander group were significantly more likely to respond, yes, I thought I should seek help for my drinking, but I did not, at the 0.004 compared to the Asian Americans. So as we can see, the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders have significantly more problem and significantly less likely to seek treatment than the Asian American The similar results were found with drug abuse, same questions, and the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders were significantly more likely to meet criteria for either abuse or dependency than the Asian Americans. And we look at treatment seeking. This was an interesting finding. When asked if they responded, yes, I thought I should seek out for my drug use, but I did not. That was not significantly different between Native Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, compared to the Asian American group. The results for looking at the barriers to treatment, which of course would have been far more helpful and informative in determining what, you know, why are these findings the way they are? Very unfortunate. Not enough sample size to determine. Too small ends in each cells to determine. So we weren't able to determine that, which is unfortunate, which I think highlights the significance of separating out the categories and doing more epidemiological research. So to discuss a little bit of what we found in relationship to the literature review, the difference between the groups for alcohol treatment may be related to cultural beliefs in the Asian Americans. Studies have shown that alcohol is not as culturally embedded or acceptable, and there's more cultural pressure to stop using alcohol, perhaps prior to it becoming used to abuse. In other words, you know, the culture sort of helps people from moving from use of alcohol to actually becoming dependent than in the Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander group. Another study has found that there's actually high acceptability among Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders related to alcohol use. So perhaps it's cultural beliefs is what made that different. The lack of difference between groups for drug treatment seeking may be also related to similar cultural beliefs. In both Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders, there's much more cultural emphasis on a negative attitude towards drug use, and it's less common in both communities. And in a study specific to Hawaiians, they found that 70% surveyed actually believe that drug use is a problem and it's unacceptable. So perhaps the lack of difference there with relationship to drug use is related to their similarity in their cultural beliefs of drug use versus alcohol. Our limitations, obviously, there's the cross-sectional data, which, you know, prohibits you know, determining cause and effects of the measures looked at. But the biggest limitation in our study, I already mentioned, and that is that we weren't able to determine the differential barriers to treatment between the groups, which would be highly valuable. Maybe focus groups are the way to go with that, to actually get that qualitative data and ask people why you think you have a problem, you don't seek help. I think that would be a very important step to take. As always with substance abuse treatment, there's other factors to be thought of, that people are just unaware of their problem, or they're in denial, or they're very shamed, embarrassed. You know, it's not an easy thing to admit you have a problem with a substance and seek help. And the possibly as well that the cultural sensitivity and appropriateness of the questions that are asked on the Census Bureau survey were not worded in an appropriate manner to be, I won't say understood in the terms of knowledge, but just, you know, the perception of what was being asked. The fact that it wasn't culturally sensitive or appropriate could be an issue. It would be neat to see if they, you know, have ever done any cultural sensitivity studies on these epidemiological, I thought I was going to 2 minutes. I'm sorry. Pretty much similar information to be given, and I just wanted to say thank you in as many languages that were related to the population. And if I was culturally insensitive, it's because I'm not Asian American or any of that, and they probably don't know enough, but the goodwill was there, so thank you very much. What time?
The data collection, the NESAR.
Oh, 1 to 02.
What languages?
What language? In English, and I believe they have them in Spanish as well. It's the Census Bureau. Yeah.
Look at any of SAMHSA's data. Is there anything on agents of the Congress and the National Survey and Drug Use and Health?
I'm sorry, I don't hear well.
SAMHSA's data, the National Survey and Drug Use and Health, was there anything that was
I honestly don't know, but that's a good question. And it's a good question. Don't mind.
Okay, thank you. I'll ask a couple of other questions until the end of our session.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next presentation will be by Julianne.